Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ.
Welcome to another Burden and Blessing Podcast. Today we are back in our review series. It seems like we haven't done one of these in a long time. With me today is Pastor Neil Radical. Neil, how are you?
I'm very good. Good to see you today, Pastor Ben Libby.
Yeah, it's good to be here with you today, Neil. Today we are going to review a video from the series. It's kind of popular, I think, nowadays. Kind of been going around here. The series is called The Chosen, and it depicts various aspects, moments in Jesus' life and in his ministry. But the pilot of that show was this Christmas special that's titled The Shepherd. And it's kind of interesting. It depicts the night Jesus was born, obviously Christmas. And so we're going to get into that and talk about that a little bit here. Kind of just to bring us full circle here, Neil, can you kind of talk about this episode and kind of what is the whole plot and what's going on here?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't see anything about the title, you just stumbled upon the clip and started watching it, you would probably not at first glance know that it was talking about the angel. It just pictures the I don't want to, if the goal is to spoil the video for you, we're going to stop what you're listening to right now and go watch the video, because we're going to be talking about the different parts of the video. So if you want to watch the video first, go do that. If you already watched it, then now is where you'd probably listen to this. But, you know, so it really focuses on the shepherd to begin with. And really it's the Christmas story through this one particular shepherd's eyes. The other shepherds are involved. This particular shepherd's being mistreated. So, and he's got a bum leg, basically. But it's interesting because it shows his curiosity about the Word of God. It definitely seems like he's a faithful Jewish man, that he is watching for the Messiah. He knows his scriptures, even though he's compared to nothing. And the lamb is brought in right away. And you see that is going to be a big part towards the end. So I really like the way the whole story is laid out, because it's showing this really great process where you go through it and you're saying, okay, what is this lamb all about? If you know nothing about the Jewish faith or even the Christian faith, the lamb is going to be a very important point later on towards the very end, really the last scene of the movie. And so I think it really does a good job of showing what we know as a familiar section of the Bible. If you're familiar with Luke 2 and the whole Christmas account of Jesus' birth, it really takes you through an aspect of that from a different perspective. But I think that's important to do from time to time. Sometimes we do narrative sermons and services where you listen to it from the perspective of Pilate or perspective of the soldier, you know, or even the shepherd, you know, and this is basically visualizing that perspective.
Yeah. I think kind of to get into a larger topic here briefly, Neil, I think this was something that was kind of going around when, I remember when The Passion of the Christ came out, and that was a big event. I think I was probably in high school when that came out. I guess I just want to get your opinion here, Neil. How do you feel about, like, representations, depictions, like visual videos of things that happen in the Bible? Are they good things? Are they bad things? Are they helpful? Do they hurt? Kind of, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll try to be super brief on that, and I know that's gonna be tough, but I also try to leave it open too, because I'd like to hear your comments too. But sure. I really think it's important for us. Me personally, I like them because I'm visual. I don't like them when I don't think they follow what Scripture says. And I know that's a big point we want to talk about briefly today with this particular video. And I think, you know, my dad on the other side of things doesn't care to watch those types of videos. I think he used to watch the Charlton Heston Moses, you know, the Exodus. And I think he was okay with that. But his general comment is, I have my own image of it in my mind. I don't need someone else to put their thoughts there too. And I think that was a big thing with Mel Gibson's The Passion too, is that people had their own vision of what the crucifixion looked like. one thing I think he did well there is showed kind of the horrific nature of it and just how that would, I remember going to that as well in the theater with some of my buddies and just really being caught up in all that torture part of it. But not a lot of that was expressing the spiritual agony that he went through with suffering every single one of our sins, which was his whole point in coming. Can you even depict that? I'm not sure. So that's where I think a lot of these things would be limiting, that it's only going to really show the physical side to a certain degree of what we're seeing. So I think there's pros and cons of both. I think the whole discussion is subjective. If you're a person who thinks that, hey, I love the visuals, I love those reminders, I like the power of it, great, but don't force your opinion on someone. Like, I'm not going to force my dad to go watch these things because I know that's not kind of his thing, and vice versa. You know, I don't think people should be like, well, that's not helpful. That's not the only real big discussion I think that really should come up in my mind is if it's done well and tastefully, and most importantly, truthfully, to point out the things that, and that's the whole point of the review, right? That we're doing here is that, does it follow what the Bible says, and is it helpful? So what are your thoughts about the media part first?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Neil. Like, we're visual people. So I think when it comes to stuff like this, I wouldn't say it's necessarily good or bad. You know, it just kind of is something extra, right? I think for some people, and probably for me too, it helps to see these things. It can help, I would say, because it reminds you that Jesus was an actual person. These things actually happened. Of course, we can never really know for sure in the exact same ways. Like, it gets depicted, like, obviously, if you're going to do this and put something that's in the Bible on the screen, you're going to have to take certain liberties and, you know, guess about a couple of different things, you know, because the Bible, it's not a screenplay. But at the same time, on the other side of that coin, we do have the Bible. The Bible is all that we need. We don't need anything extra. You don't need to have these things to have faith. Maybe it can help you visualize the things that you have faith in, but you don't need to have these things. So I think that, you know, as like you said, as long as it remains textual, as long as it is true to what Scripture says, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing to watch this if you want to. You know, I think it's up to you. We're not endorsing this video. There's a whole other series after this too of The Chosen, which we wouldn't necessarily endorse, but we review it, you know, to kind of bring up the points, the good points that they brought up, I think, in the video, and perhaps the parts that aren't necessarily there that they kind of take liberties with. So, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think you can use it, you know, maybe I would encourage my dad to watch it if he had friends that he would maybe want to send it to, or if he was going to open discussion with people about what their thoughts were on it. I think it could be used as a helpful tool in that way too. So I agree with you. We can't watch every single movie that was ever made about Jesus. Obviously there's tons of them, and some of them are going to be good. Some of them aren't going to be good, but so this specific video, you know, it's about 30 minutes long, maybe it's closer to 20, but you know, that whole idea, what do you think about as far as how it depicts that? Do you think it did well? Do you think it missed anything? Do you think it nailed it?
Well, I think it's, like I said, you have to take certain liberties here and, you know, kind of invent a narrative. That's kind of what they do. Like, they take a shepherd. We know that, like, from Luke 2, that there were shepherds in the field and that an angel came to them, told them about Jesus. The shepherds went to see the baby. They returned and they made widely known the saying which was told them. So they kind of invent this narrative of this kind of crippled shepherd, and it kind of it takes it from that particular shepherd's point of view, and we kind of go through that. I think that, you know, obviously we don't know anything about these shepherds besides the fact that they were shepherds and what they did and how they saw the Savior. So I think at the same time, I think you kind of have to do that, you know, if you want to, you have to kind of pick your moments in these videos, I guess. So, of course, we can't know for sure that there was such a shepherd, but I think it did it pretty well. What do you take from the fact that, I just kind of want to touch on this real quick, that shepherd, he's he's lame. Like, he has some kind of injury. He's not moving as fast as the other shepherds. And then the sheep that he brings to the Pharisee, who I think they're looking for spotless lambs for, I would assume, a festival. What do you kind of take? Why do you think they did that?
Well, we can read into it, right? Because it, yeah. You know, if they probably have reasons why they did things. But what I took from it is that what he brought was not what we bring to the Lord is not perfect.
Yes.
And what the Pharisee was looking for was a perfect lamb. The shepherd did not have it. He did not have that perfect lamb that he wanted to give as a sacrifice because he loved Jehovah. He loved the Lord. He loved the true God. And so he was turned away because of that. And you see that opposite grace, you know, in him going into the temple and hearing the scriptures and getting kicked out of the temple because he's bleeding all over the place and he's filthy because he's about in the fields. And it's this whole idea of this shepherd being turned away, and yet God comes to him as one of those shepherds and tells him about the birth of the Savior. And I guess the point I wanted to ask you is, you know, he's crippled, but then he starts running to there. I guess the first time I thought this, like, okay, that's kind of cool. But then it made me think of some of the Old Testament prophecies. You know, I always thought of Jesus later on in his ministry, but, you know, there's nothing in the Bible says that miraculous things couldn't have happened that evening as well, that the shepherd rejoiced and the lame leaped, you know, the young, right. You know, and speaking about that like Isaiah does, you know, so.
Right. Yeah. I think what kind of gets brought back and forth is that the rabbi in the synagogue, I would assume, reading from the Old Testament. First, he introduces the section with Micah 5. You know, we all know that, and talking about Bethlehem. But then he reads from Isaiah, and he kind of jumps around a little bit there. He goes back and forth from chapter 9 in Isaiah to chapter 35. He's talking about the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. That's all Isaiah chapter 9. And then he goes from that to Isaiah 35, and that what he reads there is as Isaiah 35 verses 3-6. Say to the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. And I think that the point is, it's illustrated in the shepherd who then, he is lame, but then he, you know, he's cured. And, you know, obviously that's not in the Bible. There is no account of this. But I think metaphorically what it's saying is, you know, this is why Jesus came. He came to heal us from our sin. And that is the point, I think, that they're trying to make with that comparison.
And it really brings us back kind of towards the conclusion of the whole thing too. And I really do like that the emphasis is on the Lamb of God. This is what's being born here. This was announced to the shepherds. The Pharisees were, you know, the leader, that one particular Pharisee missed it. And that's why I think the end is so powerful, because he'd found something better than any lamb that he could bring. It's the Lamb of God, you know, that's why. I really think that first one was well done. They could have done a lot of different things. They could have brought gospel about in a different way, but the simple gospel was that the Savior had been born, and this shepherd knew it, and they were running around telling everybody.
Right. I think the shepherd and his sheep are kind of one and the same. He's, you know, he's lame. There's some kind of blemish with this sheep that he has. So that's why the Pharisee doesn't accept his offering. And kind of, you know, the Pharisee is really heavy-handed there with him, you know, kind of depicting a typical Pharisee, I would say. And the whole point is, and then at the end when he comes back and said, hey, where's your spotless sacrifice? And then the shepherd smiles because he knows that it's in that house, you know, it's that baby that was just born. That is the Savior. Another thing I kind of want to talk about, Neil, just kind of briefly, is Mary and Joseph here. They're depicted. Mm-hmm. They have that first interaction with him in the marketplace, and then he gives them their water. And then he comes back to them, obviously, because then Jesus is born. And then they present him with the child. You know, the shepherds, they all get there. They're all kind of holding out their hands, like if they can hold the baby. Myself, as a new parent, it'd be like, I would not give a bunch of farmers who just came in out of the country, you know, this
brand. They never met.
Yeah, that strangers, this infant, you know. But then I think you kind of can see the wheels turning in the actor they chose to play Joseph. He kind of is like, first he's kind of like protective, kind of like, what's going on here? Like kind of like ready to kick these guys out. But then he kind of realizes, you know, well, this is not just our son. It's, you know, like what Isaiah says there, to us, a son is given to us. Do you have any thoughts on
No, yeah, I think that's a pretty powerful point, too, that you made. It's like, it doesn't seem like they would hand him off to him. But, you know, their first exchange is, I think, doesn't he give them water, right? He helps them out. Uh-huh. And so they remember that. And they're, obviously, the shepherds had told Mary and Joseph what had happened. And now they're like, these guys know, you know, then they're showing the Savior to him. And the fact that he gets to hold this, the Savior that he's been looking for and hoping for is also a pretty powerful moment too. My mind went to Simeon in the temple right away as well. And I'm sure as people learned, like you said, people must know these things. People must know the Savior's been born. I'm sure there were many occasions like Simeon in the temple, but I think they were kind of alluding to that. And maybe in the series, I haven't seen any of the series yet. This is kind of our first one that we're looking at, if we're going to keep looking at more or not. But you know, this idea of bringing in these other parts of scripture to kind of being shown here that this is the kind of attitude that people had about the birth. You know, they were overwhelmingly excited. They've been waiting for this. And we're going to have the same kind of thing when Christ returns to take us home. We're going to have this overwhelming excitement. Today is the day. That's what the first promise of God's covenant was being fulfilled before their eyes. And the fact that they were believing that in faith is amazing, in the same amazing way that we'll be able to, not by faith anymore, but by sight as well when Christ returns.
Right. And I think kind of a thing to mention too is what they show and what they don't show here. I think how they don't show the angels, because how can you show angels in a way that, you know, doesn't make them hokey or, you know, I think it's a very active choice to not show the angels and to not have them say their message and then, you know, proclaim being filled in the heavens and, you know, singing that song of glory to God in the highest. They don't show that, which I think is probably a good thing, because you can't do that. I don't think it's possible really to do that in the right way.
How do you show, like, holiness or power, right? How do you – it's either going to come across as way too frightening or way too weak, really.
Right, yeah, really hard to depict. I kind of think that the actress they got for Mary was a little older than how we typically think of Mary. You know, we think that she's kind of like a teenager almost, and that lady kind of seemed a little bit older, but whatever, you know, we don't really know her age. We just know that she was a young maid and she was a virgin. I think, but one of the things that they get really well is the shepherds marveling and then making those things known which were told them. They show them like going through the streets of Bethlehem and like telling everybody, like people, like soldiers, about this baby. I really liked how they did that. I think that was pretty important. And then as they're doing that, what's put it over that is Isaiah chapter 9, you know, unto us a son is born. And you know, I think there's a really strong part there too. So I think that was pretty well done. So I think kind of to wrap it up here, Neil, would you recommend this? Would you be hesitant to recommend it? What do we think about it in general?
I think I would definitely recommend this. I think there was more things I thought were really well done than other. I don't really have a whole lot of criticisms of it. I think as far as depicting what the shepherds would have gone through that day and telling the nativity and the Christmas account, the Luke 2 account, from that shepherd's perspective, I think they did a good job of that, trying to tie in all the sacrificial part of it. You know, to tie in the grace and the atonement of Christ in there, I think is really, really good to do, bringing in that old covenant law and the new covenant fulfillment. I think that's absolutely was what they did. So again, I think some people might disagree with me. Some people might not like the way they depicted it, but overall, I think it was really well done.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I like the small little details I think in there are pretty good too, like how they show blood constantly. The shepherd's wounded. They show his blood in the temple. I think all that points ahead to fulfilling that Old Testament, you know, picture of that spotless lamb having to be the sacrifice, having to shed its blood, you know, for the people. And I think they did that really well. I think it's a really good depiction, I think. It doesn't take so many liberties. It doesn't really get any details wrong. It might add a few, like I said, you kind of have to have a narrative, to have a story. But I think overall it does a pretty good job. It's pretty moving once you realize, if you put yourself into that shepherd's perspective. And I think that's something that maybe you would want to do while you go through this. And like I say, supplement it with the Bible, but then think, or not supplement it, but go back to the Bible first, maybe read Luke 2, then go on and watch this, and then think, I am that shepherd. I am lame. I can't do anything on my own. I can't have a sacrifice on my own. But at the end of the day, it's Jesus who does it all for me. And we should be really thankful that we have, you know, that son. That son is born to us. That son is given, and he is our peace. And like they said too, his name is Jesus. He is our Savior. So I'd say, yeah, if you're curious about this, and maybe you heard about this series, go and check out this video, and then maybe we'll try to come back and do another review series on the rest of the episodes. I know there's a bunch. Maybe we'll try to do a couple, maybe focus in on a couple episodes and maybe review that for people too, but we'll kind of see what goes on along with that. Thank you, Neil, for taking us through this section. We pray that during this Advent season, we all see the baby born in the manger, born for us, and he shall save us from our sins.
We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.